Hello, dear students. We continue our subject, Air Transport Policy and Planning, Module 1, Methodological Aspects of Air Transport Policy and Planning. Lecture number 2, Planning the Carrying Capacity of Airlines. Lecture plan, there will be 2 points here, 2 sections. Section 1, Typical Provisions, Criteria, Goals, when planning the carrying capacity of airlines. Section number 2 for today's lecture is basic principles of capacity regulation by the methods of preliminary determination, Bermuda 1 agreement, and free determination. The lecture material is quite large in the length, so it will be split in few video records, I suppose in 3 records, but we'll see the progress. So section number 1, typical provisions, criteria, goals when planning the carrying capacity of airlines. First, a few definitions. First of them is marginal passenger circulation. It's a measure of the passenger carrying capacity of an airline, which represents the movement of one passenger seat over a distance of 1 kilometer, which is measured in seat kilometers. Next one is performed passenger traffic. It's a measure of the actually used passenger carrying capacity, which means the movement of one passenger over a distance of 1 kilometer, measured in passenger kilometers. So you see, the first definitions are about passenger traffic. First is marginal passenger circulation, is the ability of capacity of airline, and then actual. The second, performed passenger traffic, it's actually performed passenger kilometers, and the measurement unit is the same. In fact, first is a seat kilometers, because it's just the seat of aircraft over a distance of 1 kilometer, and the second is one passenger in over the distance of 1 kilometer, so measured in passenger kilometers. Next definition is limit ton kilometer. It's a measure of cargo passenger carrying capacity of an airline that it has, that an airline has. It denotes the carrying capacity based on the calculation of the movement of 1 notional ton of cargo, passengers, and or commercial cargo over a distance of 1 kilometer, which is measured in ton kilometers. Next one is performed ton kilometer. It's a measure of the actually used cargo and passenger carrying capacity that the airline has, denotes the actual movement of 1 ton of cargo or passengers at the rate of 90 kilograms per passenger and commercial cargo over a distance of 1 kilometer. Measurement unit is ton kilometers. Next one, the passenger seat occupancy factor. Very important. It's a measure of the use of the airline's transportation capacity, which is defined as the ratio of the performed passenger traffic to the marginal passenger traffic. And those two just have been defined above. Next one, the commercial load factor is the ratio of the number of completed ton kilometers to the maximum ton kilometers. Also, some relative indicator. And the last definition for the notions is points of departure and destination. These are the points between which passengers are transported. In the context of passenger traffic, the term is used to measure the quantitative characteristics of different markets defined by the point of arrival and departure, whether direct or transit. Now, section number two, basic principles of capacity regulation by the methods of preliminary determination, Bermuda One Agreement, and free determination. First, let's dwell upon criteria and basic principles of capacity regulation by the method of preliminary determination. This section, these basic principles, they will contain a few criteria. Criteria A, B, C, D, E, F. And each criterion has, except of just statement that describes the criterion, each of them contains basic principles with a few items. And each criterion I will describe for you. All right, let's begin from the criterion A. This is the need for close and flexible matching of capacity with demand. Basic principles. There will be five items here, five basic principles. Basic principle number one. The capacity is established by determining the types of aircraft, the frequency of transportation, and in some cases, the number of seats and or the cargo capacity by volume or weight that can be provided. Number two, demand, or in other words, need for transportation, is usually established empirically using statistical data on performed transportation and based on reasonable estimates of future transportation needs, taking into account the economic situation, including tariffs and other relevant factors. Basic principle number three, it is close matching of capacity with demand requires provision of capacity at a level that allows achieving an acceptable load factor, i.e., a load factor that will ensure, and there'll be a list of two items, A and B. Point A, it's an acceptable possibility for passengers to get a seat without prior reservation, and B, it is obtaining a normal economic profit, but by airlines. So obtaining a normal economic profit by airlines. I'm sorry. Just a second. I have to interrupt. All right, let's continue and finish this item. All right, it's basic principle number three of the A criterion. Well, A and B. A, an acceptable possibility for passengers to get a seat without prior reservation, and B, obtaining a normal economic profit by airlines. Next is number four, basic principle number four. Flexibility in capacity provision can be achieved through measures such as, and there'll be A, B, and C points. A, constant control of load factors in order to determine changes in demand. B, organization of regular and special consultations. And C, simplification of provision of additional flights or additional sections of routes, or temporary capacity by one airline on behalf of another participating airline to meet short-term fluctuations in demand. Number five, in the criterion A, basic principle number five is flexibility can also be achieved by providing objective criteria within which an increase in limited capacity is allowed, for example, an increase to an agreed limit, provided that they are delivered to a stipulated level of load factor for the same period of the previous year. Now, criterion B, the need to provide capacity should be mainly determined by the demand for transportation between the territories of the two contracting parties. Basic principles, there'll be three points here. Number one, transportations that are not related to transportation between the territories of the two contracting parties are considered only as additional, and in some cases they can be of significant importance for customers and interested airlines. Number two, regarding the provision of additional capacity for such transportation, the following should be taken into account depending on the circumstances. And there'll be A, B, C here. A, the overall balance that must be achieved in any bilateral agreement. B, the main differences that may exist between above and intermediate transportation needs. These two words, above and intermediate, are in quotation marks. So it's not direct speech, it's figuratively above and intermediate transportation needs. C, requirements in through-line transportation of airlines and requirements for transportation in the area through which transportation is performed, taking into account the needs of local and regional transportation. Number three, in the basic principles for criterion B, is in many cases, the provision of additional capacity for such transportation cannot be justified, since the capacity provided the transportation between the territories of the two contracting parties may be sufficient to cover other transportation needs. So let me repeat number three. In many cases, the provision of additional capacity for such transportation cannot be justified, since the capacity provided for transportation between the territories of the two contracting parties may be sufficient to cover other transportation needs. Sorry for this interruption, but let me continue and finish this very important topic. Criterion C. Now, criterion C, the need to effectively ensure equality and mutual benefits to carriers of both interested countries. Basic principles. There'll be just two of them. Number one, as a rule, equality and mutual benefit are related to the overall balance of interests in a bilateral agreement and can be effectively achieved with the help of such measures, which are outlined in the above mentioned clause four. Number two, when regulating capacity to ensure equality and mutual benefit, factors such as A and B here, A, types of aircraft and frequency of transportation by operators, and B, characteristics of the routes stipulated in the agreement operated by carriers. Criterion D, the need to encourage the development and expansion of air transport on a sound, cost-effective basis and in the general interest. Basic principles, 1, 2, 3 here. Number one, this criterion, which is of a general and fundamental nature, is usually reflected in the preamble of the agreement and not in its individual articles. Number two, general interests, in quotation marks, include three main factors: interests of airlines, air transport customers, and other interests of the state. Number three, capacity should be offered at a level that, and there are A, B, C, D here, A, provides an acceptable possibility of obtaining a seat for the passenger without prior reservation, B, ensures a normal economic profit for carriers, C, helps to avoid dumping, in quotation marks, dumping of the capacity, and D, is planned in such a way as to provide customers with the maximum possible convenience. Criterion E, the need to coordinate transportation with the capacity of airports and air routes, ensuring efficient use of human and material resources, especially fuel, environmental protection from air pollution and noise. So we have one extra student here, please forgive me. Basic principles, these criteria are of great and growing importance and can be best reflected in the preamble of the agreement. However, it may be necessary to plan capacity in such a way as to achieve efficient use of airports and air route equipment, to converse resources by choosing the most appropriate load factors, and to minimize the negative impact of the environment. Sometimes it may be necessary to reconcile these requirements with the requirements related to the above criterion A. And the last criterion F, the need to match the provision of capacity for non-regular and regular transport, depending on the overall demand. So non-regular and regular transport depending on the overall demand. Basic principles one and two here. In the event that some transportation, especially the so-called scheduled or scheduled charter flights, are classified as regular by both contracting parties, it may be necessary to take special measures for the designation of carriers and routes associated with them transportations in such a way that it is possible to regulate the capacity offered by them together with the capacity of other regular transportations. And number two, in order to obtain the necessary information by agreement on capacity, the states may agree on the exchange of any data that may be useful for the level of capacity provided by non-regular transportation. So thank you very much for your attention. Let me say that next part of the lecture, I will record for you later, and it will be in the next files. So wish you every success. Goodbye.